Scripture says from Matthew, our text, that when they saw the star, they've been traveling for 2 years, they've been preparing for 2 years, they've been anticipating this meeting for 2 years. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that is the heart of understanding Christmas. Not the hallmark, not the gifts that we receive, but the gifts that we give. The story says that this little boy, on Sunday morning, after everyone unwrapped their gifts and he unwrapped his little sister asked him, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" He thought for a moment and he said, "No, but then it's not my birthday." He understood from the mouth of children, "Not my birthday, it's not about me." Imagine this. Imagine that you invite people at your house for your birthday. You prepare the meal, you prepare the day, the house is decorated, depends how old and what you want to celebrate. Usually 50 is big. And everyone comes to your birthday and they show up with good cheer and they got gifts. And the time comes to offer up and to give the gifts. And as they do, they open up the gifts, but it's for one another. They give gifts to each other, and you're sitting there, it's your birthday, and you're getting none of the gifts. You got to be thinking, what's going on? Why are we here? Because we need to understand that Christmas is not about us. It's about Jesus. And now this morning, after you've opened up your gifts, maybe you've gotten all the gifts you had to get for other people. You know, the gifts, there's three types of gifts that we give that I thought of real quick. We give gifts to those that we love, and we give them because we love them and we want to present our love for them by the gift we give them. Gifts of love. Then there's gifts of responsibility and necessity. You got to give gifts because you received gifts. So you've got to be some kind of respectful, civil. You got to give some gifts back. And then there are the gifts of need. You've got to give because maybe you've got to open up a door or start a relationship or build a relationship. And all of these, they have different intentions from our hearts. But wait, now that you've given the gifts, you've received the gifts, here's the question, which Paul asked last night, so I know the Lord is in it. Here's the question. Have you gotten the Lord Jesus a gift this morning? Oops. You think, what do you give people? My wife said, you know, getting you a gift. I thought about the royalty. What do you give gifts to each other? Because they have everything. So they give each other funny gifts. So I got a pair of socks with Santa Claus on them. And she was laughing and having a good time until I looked inside the socks. Then I was laughing and having a good time. So you think, what do you give people? And you think about their personality, you think about their hobbies, you think about their needs. But have you gotten Jesus a gift this morning? And that's the question that must drive our hearts. What do you give Jesus? And you know, the idea that it's the thought that counts, that may work with people, but does that really work with God? Can we come before the Lord with the thought counts? Oh Lord, I wish it was better, but this is what you get, Lord. Now this, I believe, this idea about the thought that counts was sold to us by people that may be inconsiderate, lazy, or loveless. With the Lord, not the thought that counts. It doesn't get you far. If you look at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, these two sons, Nadab and Abihu, the Bible says the sons of Aaron took their respective fire pans and put fire in them. They placed incense on it and offered strange fire before Yahweh, thinking it's the thought that counts. I'm going to worship the Lord my way, my time, my strength. And God said, no. It's something God had not commanded them. And a fire came out from the presence of Yahweh and consumed them. And they died before God. Not the idea that we should drive fear in our hearts. The idea of waking up just a little bit in the way that we treat God when it comes to what we offer. What can we bring God for Him to be honored? What do you bring Jesus? We look at these magi. They came, they fell to the ground and worshiped. And then they opened their treasures. That's the point. That's what I want to start with this morning, and it'll carry us into the new year. Opening the treasure of your heart. What is inside your heart? What do you give the Lord? We talk about being saved by grace, and we are awed and inspired, and we deserve nothing that God gives us. And the question is, what can you give God? Second question, is God expecting anything from you? And if you're not sure what God's expectations are, I would urge you to start reading the book of Leviticus. How precise the order. And the things that God was expecting, and He told the priests and the Levites and the whole nations how they should draw near the altar and how they should worship every single step, everything that they wore. Does God expect proper worship from His children? They opened up the treasures of their heart, they opened up their treasures, and they presented Him gifts. Have you brought gifts to the Lord this morning? Have you ever given Jesus a gift? Well, I give Him my heart. Well, yes. Yes. And that is the point where the Holy Spirit has touched you, has regenerated you, and gave you the gift of salvation, and therefore you are able to give Him your heart. But what else is the Lord looking for? And if we think that this is limited to the Old Testament, the requirements, look at the New Testament. The book of Acts, chapter, book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. The whole church, the Bible says, they gotten together and they were putting all their material goods together and they were sharing and everyone had plenty. And as they were doing so, they were selling their homes, their properties, bringing them before the apostles, laying at their feet and saying, I give this to the Lord. And so Ananias and Sapphira thought, we'll do the same thing. And what happened is they sold their property for probably more than what they were expecting, and they came to the house of the Lord and they kept that amount in their minds and they gave less to the Lord and they acted as if that was the whole amount. Nothing wrong with how much they gave. It is their heart attitude. By what later Peter says, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And the two of them, they died that day. The Magi teach us with their lives the gifts that they brought the Lord. And I want us to unpack that we would open up the treasures of our hearts to see what the Lord is worthy of receiving. Worship. We come to the house of the Lord to worship. We sing, we worship, we pray, we worship, we listen with a worshipful heart. But see, worship, we learn from the Magi, begins, first of all, by the moment that we encounter majesty. It's the moment when you realize that it's so much more than what you thought, so much more than yourself, so much more than what you see. You encounter majesty and everything changes. You may begin to sweat, you may begin to cry, you may begin to shiver because you encountered majesty. And there's nothing you can do when you encounter majesty except to fall on your face. Everyone that encountered God in His glorious presence, they fell prostrate. Think of Abram. When he fell, when he first met God, he fell on his face. Joshua, who are Pastor, are you with them? He fell on his face before Jesus. Ezra, he falls on his face as he meets God, meets Jesus on the shore of the river. Saul, on his way to persecute Christians, meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. He falls on his face. John, in the book of Revelation, he falls on his face. And now the Magi. I guess we ask ourselves the question, maybe the falling on your face, whether it's at church or at home, in your bedroom, in your closet, where you meet with God, that moment, that prostrate position of falling begins the opening of the treasures of your heart. Understanding that we come before the Lord Almighty, not before our buddy, an old man. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Worship begins, as we mentioned, by encountering majesty. Worship begins when we open our hearts without reservation. Lord, this is it. Anything, anytime. You've got all your heart without any reservation, whether in confession or in offering. And this is what one thing that Paul was crying to about to the church of Corinth. He says, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. We're open to you. We're transparent. Let's have it out. What's the problem? Our wide open. Have you had those relationships where you've made a friend, you've come close to someone, and you love them and their personality, and you just want to open and let them know everything that's in your heart, but they're holding you at arm's distance? Have you felt that? People holding you at arm's distance, you wonder, what did I do wrong? What do I do? Paul says, listen, we've opened wide open. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak to you as children, open wide to us also. What are you afraid of? What are you protecting yourself from in relationships? You've been hurt, you've been let down, and no one else is going to do it again. So therefore, your heart is well protected. Paul says, listen, just like the Magi, they open the treasures, and that's when worship began. Have you given Jesus a gift? There's no such thing as half-hearted worship. You can tell when someone is really in love with the Lord and they're really overwhelmed by His presence, even when we sing. They're singing loud and they're off key and they don't care because they're singing to the Lord. Their hearts are wild. And then there are those Baptists that sit back and they're so pious and they're just, yes, Lord, and they're quiet. What does the Lord want from you? God. The Magi teach us. John chapter 4, 23, the Lord makes it plain, not to the priests, not to the Levites, not to the disciple, but to this woman, this Samaritan woman that no one looked at. Paul said last night that the shepherds were the least in society. Yes, they were, and under them were the Samaritans, even worse. But Jesus tells her exactly what we need to hear. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Oh, I get that. I'm trying to understand what it means to have an open heart and my spirit being transparent, and my intentions of the heart is worshiping in spirit and truth. I get it. It's the Word of God. I can't worship any way I want. It's got to be the way Scripture teaches me. But here it is. Are you ready for this? For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. The Bible says, anyone who wish may come. But then it specifies that the Father is seeking people to worship Him only in one way, with an open, transparent in spirit and in truth, the Word of God. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him, must worship Him, must worship Him. Anything else other than that is worthless. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, Let's let the Magi teach us this morning. They give us a hint of what gift you can get the Lord Jesus. It's not too late. And it's faster than Amazon. They're teaching us, and we'll take this first hint. We'll unpack it this morning and the other ones as we cross in the new year, because the other two gifts, I believe they're actually going to prepare how we should live for 2023. I grew up back in Romania, and even there we received these American songs. Actually, in this case, I think it was a Swedish song by a specific group, which you may know. And the song says, I've been searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old. I've been searching for a heart of gold. What is the Lord looking for when we come before Him? What will honor Him? Worshiping Him with a surrendered heart. There's a great battle going on in our minds when we hear God's word. The Holy Spirit says, it is so. And we say, no, it's not so. The Holy Spirit says, you must go. And we say, no, I'm not going to go. The Holy Spirit says, you must repent and you must give this up. And we say, no, not now. You cannot worship Him unless you have a surrendered heart, which means it's opened up, saying, Lord, whatever it is, whether I'm confessing, whether I'm rejecting, whether I'm admitting, Lord, I'm surrendering. And actually the definition of a surrendered heart is a heart of gold. Many people wear lockets of hearts of gold. They open it up, it's got the picture of someone they love, reminds them. What does this heart of gold look like if we were to give it to the Lord Jesus? You see, the Magi, they started up a long time before they got there. The shepherds met Him in the manger. The Magi came to a house. It took some time. And the Lord led them and took them just enough time to get there, exactly when the Lord Jesus, Mary, and Joseph needed them to be there. They knew what they were seeking. They knew whom they had encountered. This little baby Jesus in the sitting was atrocious. And their they fell on their faces in a barn. Think about that for a second. Didn't care. They knew who they had met. Their work started 2 years before they even got there. As our worship must start when we leave the home, the night before, in the morning, not when we walk in the doors, because on the way to church, you will be attacked by a legion of demons, getting you angry, getting you upset, making you think, making plans, stirring up your spirit. You worship before you get here. And they worshiped. Their worship culminated after 2 years of travel, when they surrendered their lives before Jesus. He was, they believed it, that He was the expected Messiah. Remember Micah 5:2? From you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from everlasting. He is from the Ancient of Days. They were not bowing down before the King of the Jews that was a temporal kingdom or a temporal king. They had been studying the scrolls because they were taught by Daniel from years beforehand. And they knew that He that would show up, the King of Kings, would be King of Eternity. The Messiah, He's also the Almighty Father. Isaiah 9:6, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Put them together. He's going to be a wonderful counselor, a patient shepherd that listens to your pain and troubles and woes, and He understands, and He also has salvation in His hands. Last night we talked about that He comes with salvation, healing in His wings, and the question is, what's that all about? And we're saying it again. The idea that God, we see Him portrayed as one that gathers His people under His wings of protection. Not just protection, but healing. And then we read later on Jesus crying as He looks at Jerusalem before He was crucified, saying, oh, how I would have wanted to gather you like a hen gathers its chicks to protect you. And you would not. That's the wonderful counselor. Mighty God, eternal Father, He is the Prince of Peace. So what do you give this mighty God? Is a gift. What does God want from you? Well, we learn right away that He's looking for worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And here are the Magi opening the treasures of their heart. They're giving Him everything, and the most important thing, a surrendered heart. He is the great I Am. Speaking to the priests and all the religious people arguing with Him, think of the poetic presentation, the riddle, the truth that's hidden, saying, well, are you greater than our father Abraham? And Jesus looks at them and He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Doesn't say I was, says I am, because that was the name that God gave Moses. What do we call you? What do I tell him? Who sent me? I am that I am. And Jesus says, I am. He is deity. Unless we understand the depth, the meaning that God is Almighty God, we will always play with sin. We'll always admit and accept certain attitudes that we carry within us. We'll always allow our hearts to get harder at times and softer at others. But when you understand He's Almighty God, He is the great I Am, everything changes. Looking at this heart of gold, the gold that they bring Jesus, we want to understand two things. One, what's the message of the gift that they're giving Him? And then what is the meaning for my life, for my gift? How do I pack this gift up? And most of you know, especially if just two of you in the household, like me and my wife, we take turns hiding and packing away the gift. And we have fun packing it and preparing it. And as you do it, you think, man, I can't wait for them to open it to see their reaction. What does this look like? Do you have a heart of gold? Because if you do, that's what the Lord wants. Here's the message of the Magi's gift, the one that brought the gold. You see, no matter which way to put it, you put it, there's always a message in the gifts that you give people. There's subtle gifts. Subtle messages, they're passive messages, or maybe you want to add to their lives, or maybe you want to have a little chastisement in the gift, whatever it may be. You don't buy a gift without thinking of what it means from you to them. It's the same with the Lord Jesus. In understanding His majesty, when you give Him, it can't be anything but the best. Think of all the sacrificed animals. They must have been without blemish. You can't give God Almighty an animal that has a broken leg or is maimed in one way or another. It's got to be the best of the best. In other words, from your animal that cost you the most. In the Jewish households, they would take this kid or a little baby ewe lamb, and they would raise it up within the household. The children would play with it. It would become a pet. It would live with them, lie down next to them. And at the right time, the father would sacrifice that which they loved most. That's why Vivian doesn't want to name any of the cows that they have. They give them numbers, no names, because it hurts to kill them if they got a name. But when they gave as a sacrifice, it ripped them from the inside out. Gold, meaning the best they have. As a message in our gifts, right, we were told, don't give your spouse as a gift a gym membership. Wrong message, wrong reaction. Don't give her a treadmill. Don't give her deodorant or your husband deodorant. Perfume, yes. Deodorant, no. There's always a message, right? And also, the timing matters. And we're all guilty of late shopping. We're tired. We're worn out. how many of us bought the gift within the last week? I'm the only one. Thank you. We confess. My name is Lorian AA. No. I told my wife, this coming year, for as long as the Lord tarries, doesn't come back, I'm going to start buying gifts in January. I'm going to buy a gift each month. It's going to be hard to hold it, man. Imagine God holding the Messiah for thousands of years before he could send him to be the Redeemer. I'm going to hold on, and I'm going to take my time thinking what I'm getting. We're tired, we're worn out, we're out of ideas. Why? Why don't you know what to get the ones you love? Well, maybe we've not invested enough time to know who they are, to know what they need, to know what they like, and to know what would bring them joy. So we get gift cards. Good. Gift cards are good, but we could do better, right? Not God. God has been working on his gift for us for thousands of years. Melchizedek was an image of Jesus without beginning, but a priest to the Most High. Moses was a redeemer. He was one to come and take his people and bring them into liberty and freedom. We know Joshua was a type, taking them into Canaan and bringing victory. Abraham was a type of Jesus. David, Josiah, finding the word of God in the temple and bringing revival to the people. Through each one of them, God was saying, hold on, there's more. There's my son coming. And the last day, the Bible says he spoke to us through his son. God kept on dropping clues. He's excited. And then eventually John cries out, behold, take away the sins of the world. God spends time in preparing his gifts for you. The gifts you have now, whether it's the gift of mercy, the gift of encouragement, the gift of preaching and teaching, the gift of administration, God gave them specifically to you, and they come out from you in his exact way like nobody else. Because God spends time in investing in you. How much time have you spent in preparing to give a gift to Jesus and the ones you love? But we never got it right, like Israel in the desert. They never got the point that it's not about the things, the miracles, and the gifts. It's about the heart. They always wanted more. More water, more meat, more healings. And then Jesus came to them, gave them all. But they kept wanting, show us another miracle. Give us another healing. We want more food. Be king, give us food. Have we changed? God loves us so much that he's fully invested in refining your heart. God was the first one to give. And he teaches us how to give. You want to learn someone's love language? Look at the gifts they give you. Understand their love language when you want to also love them in giving to them into their lives throughout the year. That's what God does. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. So that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold. Your faith is more precious than gold, whom God loves, which is perishable even though tested by fire, may be found to result. Your faith will be found to result in praise and glory and honor when the Lord Jesus shows up. And even so, as he invests in our hearts and he gives us himself as a gift, his love exceeds gold by eternity. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your futile conduct inherited from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. They bring him gold, and we've learned that throughout the centuries, gold has been the gift and the sign worthy of royalty. Yes, the majesty, when they came before Jesus, they want to bring the absolute best, unveiling their deep honor, joy, revealing their long-awaited anticipation of the King of Kings. Now, they may not have known, but God did. Because what they gave the Lord Jesus actually was the Lord preparing their treasure to be able to travel and run away, get away from Herod, killing all the children. God had all this in purview and used the Magi as they gave him gold. Gold is the metal of kings. So when gold is presented to Jesus by these men from Persia, it was an acknowledgement of his right to rule, not Herod. They asked, where is the newborn, not baby, but king? Interestingly enough, he was not their Persian king. Had nothing to do with the land they came from or who they were. They knew that he was the King of Kings. They believed it. They knew it. And they were obedient to that prophecy. They studied. They searched. They waited. They traveled. And now they're offering. Guided by the supernatural star, they were guided by an angel. And of course, they fell on their faces. According to a great Roman orator by the name of Seneca, he said it was the Persian custom that no one could approach a king without a gift of gold. The king of metals was the proper gift for the king of men. The Lord is searching for a heart of gold. Do you have a heart of gold? What does it look like? I have home a very special polish, which is used for many different things, car wax, silver, you name it. I love to take that polish, and once in a while, even for people that come visit us at home, I say, give me a ring. And they give me their gold ring, wedding ring, and I take the polish. And they've never polished it probably in so many years. I give it back to them brand new, shining, which obviously represents the love and the eternal devotion that we have one to another in marriage. And it's polished and it gives you that joy to look at it. That's what the Lord wants that we do with our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit give it a shine. Drive deep in refining your heart to give the Lord a heart of gold. And here it is. What is the meaning of what our gift should be to the Lord Jesus today? It's not too late to go home and look inside and see how much polishing you're going to do on your heart. Even if we could pinpoint a certain definition of what our gift should be, it centers down, it boils down to the center of our hearts. You give from the treasures of your heart. And a question that may guide us to the answer would be, what gift, what gift would honor Jesus? Or what would you give the one that really has everything? Because he does have more than the cattle and 1,000 hills. He has the universe. What would you give Jesus? Well, one thing that we know that Jesus does not want is when we look at him overturning the tables in the temple. They were religious. They knew they had to go to the temple, and they knew they had to bring a sacrifice. But guess what? They didn't have time to go get the sacrifice. They didn't have the time to have the sheep or the baby ewe lamb or the kid at home to raise it. So guess what they did? Before you entered the temple sanctuary itself, in the courtroom of the temple, the first entrance, they had all these people that had a one-stop service. You can buy whatever animal you wanted, doves, sheep, you name it, it was there. But because you could not have any graven image against the Ten Commandments, they would not use the Roman currency. So if you had Roman currency, you could not buy those things with that. So what they would do is they would have temple currency. So you went to the money exchangers to take your Roman dollars and have them change into temple dollars, and now you can go buy the animals. But the priests, being shrewd as they were, when they made the exchange, yeah, they cashed a little bit in their own pockets. And the Lord walks in, and what was supposed to be a house of prayer had become a den of thieves. And the Lord overturned all the tables. And listen, you come into the house of God, it's anything but what it should be. You're not giving your heart, you're giving away what's convenient. Drive-through worship. It's what they were doing. They were supposed to search and pick out an animal without blemish for among the flock, the herd, their own house. It was supposed to be personal. That's what a gift is. It's personal. It's thoughtful. It's meaningful. It's prayerful before the Lord. And maybe even painful when it costs you. But it was anything but that for those Jews at that time. They left their house in a hurry, empty-handed, got everything done in the foyer. All religion, no heart. So, what gift can you give Jesus? How personal is it? A gift that would bring a smile to his face, a gift that would honor him, a gift that is worthy of a king. Here they are. Give him a heart that shines like gold. What is that? How will your heart shine like gold? Micah says, with what shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Is Yahweh pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? It's not about, this is not about tithing. It's got nothing to do with what's in your wallet. It has everything to do with what's inside your bosom, your heart. Those are rhetorical questions. And Micah says, none of these will impress God. Here it is. And now we have the answers. Verse 8. He's talking. You know, speaking to you all the time. It's that little voice that you keep pushing away. And he says, this is what's good and what Yahweh requires from you: to do justice, to love loving kindness, and to walk humbly with God. To do justice in everything you do, the way you think, the way you act, the way you react. To love, desire loving kindness as you deal with people. Be good and love and be humble. Because see, a heart of God, the heart of God shines like a mirror. So when God looks into your heart, what does he see? Himself. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And we must be holy because he's holy. And he says, listen, I have a heart in which I can mirror. And here it is, justice, loving kindness, and humility. What are these gifts of gold? Simple. Do good. Doing good from a heart of gold. And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of these, you did it to me. The good things that no one can return to you, that's a heart of gold to people that cannot respond in kind. Hebrews 13:6, do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You want to put a smile on the Lord's face? Lord Jesus, here's my gift. Here's my heart of gold in doing good, being humble, and doing just. Because if you do those, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And when they see your good works and they see your heart that shines, they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Not the sermon, not the way you look, but your good works will bring them to glorify God. Another way that you can have a heart of gold is by forgiving, especially at Christmas. A heart that forgives is a heart of gold. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, graciously forgiving. He adds the adverb graciously, not begrudgingly, not because you're forced to, but graciously forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord graciously forgave you, so also should you. A heart of gold that forgives. Give Jesus that heart. And then we see another way to have a heart of gold is putting others before you. Think of others better than you. Think of them more than you do of yourself. God looks down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there's anyone who has insight, anyone who seeks after God. Philippians 2:3, doing nothing from selfish ambition or vainglory, but with humility of mind, regard one another more important than yourselves, not merely looking out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this way of thinking in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, a heart of gold that puts others before you, that forgives, that does good. A heart of gold, not just that, the heart of faith, doing good as you live and love those around you. Live and walk by faith in response to God the Father. God looks down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there's anyone who has insight, anyone who seeks after God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want a heart of gold? Another level of it is faith. Not trying to prove, not trying to discount. Take it from the Word of God. And He gives you reasons to believe and walk by faith. And lastly, which is what the Magi did, a heart that is surrendered, a heart that is obedient. Remember that the angel told them, don't go that same way back. And they listened. Simple thing in being obedient. And Samuel said, has Yahweh much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in the obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. A heart of gold, being obedient, surrendered. A heart of gold, one that does good to others. A heart of gold that lives your life by faith. That is a gift worthy of a king. Heavenly Father, we are looking each one in the depths of our own hearts. We repent, Lord, for so often we have given you the leftovers. For so often, Father, we have given you a white elephant as a gift instead of our own hearts. And the heart you've given us as your children, it is a heart of gold created by the Holy Spirit. But now, Lord, we want to grow. We want to honor you and praise your name through the life you've given us, that your salvation was worthy and real, that it transformed us. Let us love one another. Let us honor you as we give you our hearts surrendered in your presence. Amen.